Welcome back. Yeah, I've noticed that I have this southern country accent, but to let you know, I am from the dirty south, Mississippi, that is. But I would like to welcome you back to the lovely show called Yama Yama Yama, and it's Golden Goose, better known as Michelle Williams. This episode today is called Church. I gotta take you to church. Today, I was scrolling on my Facebook account, and if you're not following me on Facebook, my Facebook name is Michelle Undeniable Williams. That's M-Y-S-H-E-L-L, Undeniable Williams with an S. I'll leave that in the description box for you. But as I was scrolling on Facebook, I noticed one of my followers or friends, however you want to word it, made a statement. And the statement went something like, why do God use damaged goods? Well, since we're going to church, I would love to tell you why. First and foremost, God can't work in a prideful man. So, man being woman or male. So, therefore, he used the people at the bottom of the bucket, or those who experienced hardships in their life, those who were blind, those who were dead, those who were sick, those who were poor. He used those types because they were no longer prideful. You know, they were no longer ego-driven. They were desperately in despair for some form of guidance. So this is when God steps in and he shows and illuminates the way of the man or female that doesn't have pride, who is submissive to his word and his teaching and his understanding. These are the ones who come into the knowledge because they are open to a higher source at this point. Have you ever gotten, playing as a kid, have you ever gotten punched in the stomach or punched in the groin or bit by an ant or even something to the extreme as shot or so sick that you was on your deathbed and the only thing that you can call out was Jesus, oh Lord, oh. Or, you know, those type of things, you know. Well, a little personal experience for me. No, I wasn't punched in the groin or punched in my stomach, but I have been punched in the titty, though. And that really hurt it. Yeah, I think I cried to God about that one. But back in 2017, I was battling a sickness. I didn't know what was going on. I didn't know what my body was doing, you know. But went to the doctor, did some tests, and I had hyperthyroidism. I lost drastic weight, looked it like death, tired, fatigued, couldn't eat. Even though I knew I should have ate something, I just wasn't eating properly. Hair was falling out, all types of sort of things, no energy, anything of that nature. And it wasn't until I got sick, you know, real ill, that I was desperate. I was desperate for the higher power. I was desperate for God to work on my behalf. No more my way but your way, because it was something he was trying to tell me, but I just wasn't getting it. I was not getting it. Whatever it is, whatever it was, I was not obtaining my name being called. So he had to strike me with an illness. so my faith could step in. I actually thought that I had faith in God. At least I knew him. I had grew up in the church. I had, you know, I had, how can I word it? I can say that I was in the praise team. I was on a dance team at the church. Church school on Sunday mornings, Wednesday nights. You know, anything the church had, my mama had me there. I was there. But that's coming up. Now, mind you, I'm only 28. So around this time, I was like 26, 27 when God came back and called my name. But at first, I was that prideful man, woman. I had everything that I wanted, from the cars, from the home that I wanted, relationship, business. So I was prideful. I thought I had it all. At least I thought I had it all. But it wasn't until God called my name and I knew it was something that I was supposed to be doing, but I didn't know what. So everything around me was dismantling, you know. And we'll talk about those on, you know, other conversations. But the main topic of this is about my illness. I was that prideful woman, you know. I was a good mom, looking after my kid. Whatever my kid wanted, he got. You know, there was no to nothing. But when my illness struck, I had to step away from my job. You know, it was just that critical for me with my illness. I had to leave my job. So then the question was, well, how am I going to provide? I didn't know the answers, but my illness was taking all of the things that I was used to away from me. Well, with this sickness, I can say that it was an eye opener in many areas of my life. Once I had the surgery to reverse my illness, and I'm not gonna put it fully on the surgery, I'm gonna put it on me fully submitting myself to God. You know, to the point where I was so sick and desperate for his presence, to feel him, you know, for him to heal me. I would literally go to the beaches and stand by the ocean, lakes, rivers, going into the green pastures, the field, and laying my body out, you know, purity naked, you know, asking God to heal me. I did all of those things, you know, doing yoga on the beach, isolating myself, meditating, you know, getting on my knees, head down, bowed in prayer, waiting for him to speak to me. And then he started leading me to different things, leading me to herbs, leading me to a different appetite, leading me to, you know, different things that probably, me looking back, worked out in my favor. And after I had the surgery, when the doctors came in to tell me about this hyperthyroidism, they said to me that, well, Miss Williams, I don't know how your thyroid went the way it did. Most people need medicine, hormonal medicine, after they get, you know, some parts of their thyroid moved, but you won't need anything. We just need you to take vitamin D once a week. And I was like, whoa, this was nobody but God. This was nobody but him. Nobody but him. And when I tell this testimony to people, you know, that have suffered thyroidism, they're telling me that they take this type of medicine, this and this and this, and they still have symptoms and stuff. And I'm like, whoa, you know, wow. God woke me up with a complete illness to test my faith. And ever since that illness, my faith, my obedience has been leaning on definitely the Most High. Nobody else, not man, not mom, not dad, not my spouse, not friends, nor family, just him. And since I have been leaning towards him, all my needs have been met. Monetary, materialistic. All of these things have worked since I put my pride to the side and put my ego to the side and submitted fully to him. And sometimes it takes that. It takes you to go through the darkness of the soul, or it takes you, you know, being in a bad relationship, it takes you going through an illness, it takes you to get in that particular part of your life where you have to call out on God. Like, I don't care if you wasn't raised in the church, you know that there's a higher power. Internally, we all know that there's a higher power. Some people, you know, they learn about him and then they are turned off with the idea of the tradition of religion. But no, he's not religion. He's not. You know, God is not religion. He is, I would say, internal. Okay? And when I say internal, you have to have a personal relationship with God in order to see those things that was, you know, written down or scripted out in your Bible or your book of knowledge that was given to you upon reading about him or the messiahs that he has sent. Basically, so, you know, saying all this to say, going back to my follower posting that, why does God love, you know, like working with damaged goods? Because the damaged goods is more open and more susceptible to be submissive. Because if you look at the story of Pinocchio, Pinocchio was a wooden boy, and all he wanted was a real boy. He did everything he knew to do to put on the image of being a real boy. But it wasn't until he learned his lesson, you know, learned the lessons of being who he was and the way that he was, that over time, after he learned his lessons, that he was given the gift of being a real boy. Shifting over to in reality, with us humans, we have to go through things in order to learn our lessons, okay? You know, and once you learn your lessons, that's when you see how powerful God really is, okay? And he is very powerful. He can heal the sick, like fully heal the sick. And I'm not saying partially heal the sick, where you're taking medicine to become healed, you know. No, like he actually heals the body, you know. He'll make sure that you're fed when you don't know where your next meal is going to come from, you know. And I am a living testimony of that. And I'm pretty sure there are other people who are living testimonies of that. Some people don't speak about the things they have gone through. They don't know how to. And some people don't want to revisit, you know, their hardships when they have arrived in life. Some people, not all. At least I'm not one of those people, because I still talk about it to this day. If I can uplift somebody and help them come out of their dark place, to let them know that there is light at the end of the tunnel, you know. But everything that you go through is only a test. But in the midst of your test, you are stripped of pride. At least you're supposed to. You are stripped of the ego. Definitely, if God is calling your name and you're not answering, he's going to have to allow things around you to crumble for the roots that you have created to be ruffled up, so he can uplift you and plant you in new soil so you can be abundant and fruitful to the area that you are in, you know, or where he placed you. But far as why does God himself like damaged goods? Because they are more open and more understanding and more submissive to their name being called. You know, some people take a minute to know, oh, my name is being called. It's internal. you will know internal. You can't look at your brother and say your name's being called. You know, you can't do that. It's internal. God will wake up the individual in divine timing when it's their time, you know. So, moral of the story is God cannot work with a prideful man, being woman or being, you know, a man. But this is one of the episodes that I speak about biblical understanding, helping illuminate those who need a better understanding of what's going on around them, you know. But this one right here, I'm just going to leave it short, that it's basically about you know, God working with damaged goods. And if you open up your Bible and flip through your Bible, you will see that Jesus, God, worked with those who were not even worthy of his presence. Those who wasn't even worthy to touch the hem of, you know, his garment. He worked with those. He ministered to those because they were the one who were hungry enough for him. You know, hungry enough to learn the teachings, hungry enough to learn what it is that they were supposed to be doing at the designated time, hungry enough to know their purpose. You know, God works with those. Now, if you was God, the creator of all things, and you created this being, this man, and you being God, you already knew what you wanted this man to do at this designated time. But the man that you created is doing their own thing. And you're tapping that man that you created on the shoulder saying, no, you're supposed to be doing this. And this man says, no, God, you created me and I want to do this. But you being the creator, but you being God the creator, is looking at your human being insubordinate, you know, insubordinate to your teaching or how you want your script to be played. What do you as the God in this human's life do? Do you kill them? Do you shake up things around them? You know, to make, because when you're a prideful man, you're headstrong. It's your way or the highway, you know. And as God, you being the author of this man's life, and this is an example, you guys. If you are God, the creator of this human being's life that you have created, you have an understanding of what you want this particular person, this man that you have created with water, wind, and dirt to do. But they're not doing it. They're not listening to you. What do you do? So basically, I'm gonna tell you what you would do if you were God. You love this person so much that you created. You took time, energy, effort. You blew into him life. You blew into him passion and purpose. You already gave him the DNA to be abundant in all things. You already blew into him the DNA to be at this place at this time, and, you know, to talk to this person at this time. You have all of this written out in your script because you are God. But this being that you created is not doing what you asked him to do. Sounds like a mama and a child, right? Well, when that being that you created does not follow the purpose or the script that you have written out for him or her, you step back. You step back and you let them do whatever they want to do. But because it's not written in the script, everything around them that they obtain falls. It doesn't stick. It doesn't hold. This person goes out, they start a business. the business falls. This person goes out. This person starts a marriage. The marriage falls. The person goes out. They start buying certain real estates and certain properties and stuff like that. And what happens? It falls. This person goes out, get a good job, got cars and houses and vacation homes. And what happens? They lose their job. To the part when they notice that everything that I'm doing is not working. So what does that individual, that human that you being God created has to do? They get uncomfortable. They start getting depressed. Then next thing you know, this human that you created is calling for you. Mom, Dad, I need you. Now you are damaged goods. Now you need that higher source to rear you back in so you can understand what it is that you were meant to be doing. Hello, am I talking to somebody? You know, this is why God used damaged goods, because he gives you two options to be free will or to be aligned with your destiny. And see, in the free will space of your life, this is where you learn your lessons. Because when God creates us and he sends us down here to earth as the lovely creatures that we are, we're like a newborn baby. Our eyes are big. Our ears are open from other people's opinions. We look at other people's life lessons. We are just, you can say, we are cultural shock. We know what it is that we want. We know that what it is that we, you know, how much money we want to obtain in our bank account. We. Us. Me. That's a baby for you. Cultural shock. But only when God comes back and he's tapping you on your shoulder like, yo, okay, you was in your free will. You know, I let you be that baby, but now I need you to be this divine being that I have constructed you to be. I need you to turn from your ways, lean not to your understanding, and hear my voice. And see, when God does that and we don't listen, everything around us goes haywire. We don't know why our spouse is cheating. We don't know why we're sick. We don't know why our job is giving us a hard time. We don't know why our friends stop being a friend to us. We don't know, but we know that it's uncomfortable. And just think about all these things happening in a short time frame. Well, some people go bipolar, some people go crazy, some people have horrible depression. You know, mental illness is real, and I am praying for anybody who is on that path, who's battling, you know, right now. You know, but at the same time, when these things happen in a short time frame, it weighs heavy on you. It breaks you. It breaks you down to that damaged goods or that damaged can, that pressure. The pressure of your life not going how you want it to go. And when that pressure makes you feel yourself, if you think of yourself as a can and you're pressure, you know, so much pressure is being applied to this aluminum can, the can begins to bend. It begins to be deformed, you know. And as a human, mentally, physically, you're under pressure. And you about to pop. And right before you're about to pop, you have to cry out, Mom, Dad, God, I need you. And here's God taking you back in open arms as if he was a mama and daddy. I am glad you have called my name, because I have been seeing you fuck up. You have been fucking up. And I've been trying to tell you, but I had to take a backseat approach and let you live your life. But now, since you have called my name, my son, my daughter, let me show you the way. And next thing you know, when you go back to mom and dad, it seems like nothing's taken off the ground. I'm just here. I don't know when is this and when I'm going to get this back. And, you know, you go through that period right there. that period of, oh man, I messed up. Now I'm back, you know, I'm back in my mom and dad's, you know, graces or whatever the case may be. Then you try to slip back off into depression because it feel like you went backwards, but no, you did not. Let God put you in that cradle position and rock you until everything that you did to mess your life up, he has to go back and he has to create a new, he has to go back and turn things back around because you messed it up. You was at your free will and you messed it up. Now, why he got you in this cradling position trying to put you to sleep, you're fighting. You're fighting him like, no, I don't want to be here. You know, I want to go. I thought if I came back to you, it was going to be quick. It was going to be sporadic that the things that I had, I'm going to get back. But no, it don't work like that. I'm sorry to tell you. You have to be in a transit state once you go back to God. A hermit state when you go back to God. Because everything that you did in your free will, when you were supposed to do it in his will, he has to go back and erase those footprints. He has to go back and erase, you know, those. It's you know, not saying that he does it like that. But the principle of the matter is he has to go back and maneuver some things on your behalf. So in your waiting stance of going back to God thinking that it was going to happen like that, he has to work now. Because when you went back to him, when you ran back home to mommy and daddy, there were some things that you prayed for in your submissive, in your pressure, in your breaking point. And so now that God has heard that cry and you done came back and you were in his arms, he's trying to rock you and cradle you and smooth you and get you back right. No more crying, baby. I'm here. He's patting you at this point. You're damaged, I know. But I got you now. Just rest while I'm working. Rest while I'm working on your behalf. Now, while you're resting, while God is working, next thing you know, a job opportunity comes available. Okay, wow. Okay, God, I see you moving. All right. Next thing you know, your income is 10 times more than what you had. Okay, God, I see you working. Now you got a better car than you had before. Okay, God, I see you working. Now there is no more drought in your finances. Okay, God, I see you working. Okay, God, I see you working. You know, it's hitting you now. Okay, God, I see you working. And then you start noticing, I should have did this a long time ago. I should have did. So you telling me that all I had to do was listen to you and all of this would have been mine? Okay, God, I see you working. You know, and guess what it came from? Damaged goods. It didn't come from your pride. It didn't come from your ego. It came from you being, say it with me, damaged goods. That's who God works with. That's who he cradles. That is who he embraces. That is who he blesses. Because when you're damaged goods and all of a sudden your life, once you allow God to come back in your life and you're patient enough and you wait on him, you're able to tell the story to everybody that you cross that has a problem. You got a story to tell. I can tell you about that because I too been through it, you know. But moral of the story, this is not going to be a long podcast. God uses the damaged goods. He cannot work in prideful man or egotistical man, okay? With that being said, y'all be blessed. Go in peace, love, and light. I thank you guys for tuning in to church. Thank you for coming to church on time. And if you was late, you got what you needed just in time. You know, y'all be blessed. Thank you for watching. Yama, yama, yama. Golden Goose. All right, y'all. Till next time. See you later.